Good morning. Welcome. It is good to see everybody here. I appreciate your presence and hope you'll follow along in God's Word to make certain that all that is said is in accordance to God's will. Our hearts are heavy. Our thoughts are with many people across the country, friends and family who are going through challenges. The Scriptures teach us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And as you think about various people, I want you to remember that that idea of loving your neighbor can sometimes be very literal. And let us not just think about the people in the islands and the people in Florida and Texas and Louisiana, but also our brothers in Mexico. The earthquake that occurred, Jeb Reeves was just preaching down there. He's currently preaching at Smoky Hill. I've not heard. He tried to get a hold of the brethren down there in the earthquake area. I have not heard an outcome from that. But certainly, they also need our prayers, and let us think about them. In a world filled with uncertainty and pain and sorrow, it is wonderful that we have a Lord that is an anchor and a rock, that we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And in a time in which many people are lost, there is great joy to be found in those who come to the Lord and have their sins washed away and have been given salvation. I want to talk about this idea, specifically about baptism. I've wanted to talk about this sermon for some time and have not had opportunity. It just hasn't worked out. The lesson is specifically, especially useful for not everyone in this audience, but especially for our parents, which is pretty much everyone in this audience. Because as our young people get older, the question starts to rise, when are they ready? When are they ready to be baptized? And we had read for us in Acts chapter 8, we have the Ethiopian eunuch, and he has just heard the message, and he asks this question. He says, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And that's the question that we're asking, is what is there between a person and that time when they're to be baptized? So obviously this message is useful for parents, for them to be thinking about what should they be looking for in their children, and what should they be preparing their children for. It is a good lesson for those who are perhaps older and at this point where they're thinking about becoming Christians and have not yet become one. When is the right time to do it? When are you ready? And perhaps this message will be of some benefit to others who sometimes worry about the baptisms that occur, because I cannot speak for the ones that I have not baptized, but when I baptize somebody, I go through a process, especially when they're young. I ask some questions. We don't just say, if somebody wants to be baptized, we don't just baptize them. And I want you to understand that first one, not everyone who asks is ready. I know that's a shocking thing. Some people have been really surprised at that. They've said, I'd like to be baptized, and I've told them, no. And that's shocking. No, who's heard of preachers that don't baptize? And I tell you, there's one in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 3, admittedly, this is a slightly different baptism, but in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7, the baptism that was preparing people for Jesus, you didn't receive it just because you asked. So we learn in previous verses that John the Baptist came and he was baptizing people in a baptism of repentance. That is, people were coming and they were confessing their sins, saying, I'm going to live differently, and John would baptize them. But in verse 7, it says, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And he goes on from there. But basically, they've come to be baptized, and he tells them, no, and in fact, you could argue he rebukes them. Not because they asked to be baptized, but because there was something between them and their baptism. There was something that they needed to do that they hadn't yet done. So what if somebody comes and wants to be baptized, but they don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus? We've had that happen in this assembly. We had somebody come and they were really excited about this group. They thought this was a great congregation and they wanted to be a part of us. So they said, what do I have to do? And the answer was, well, you need to be baptized. And they're like, okay. And I said, wait, let's ask a few more questions here. And I asked, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he died and was resurrected? And the person said, wait, what? Said that he was resurrected. He said, you guys believe he came back from the dead? I said, yes. I said, oh, I don't believe that. There's somebody who, they're not ready to be baptized. There's something between them and that moment. They've asked, but they're not ready. What about somebody who wants to be baptized but doesn't really know why? I know this one very well because this was me. When I was young, I don't know how old I was, 9 or 10, somewhere around there. I remember very distinctly, I was on the stairwell, and I just kind of popped my head to the side and said, "Hey, Mom, Dad, I want to be baptized." And they said, "No." And part of the reason why was because they felt I was too young, but what they're really saying is I didn't have the right attitude. I wasn't in the right place. If you'd ask me why I wanted to be baptized, it's because, well, that's the thing to do. I want to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper like everybody else. That's so cool. That was sort of the thing. I wasn't ready. Or someone who wants to be baptized when it's convenient. I have had this happen on multiple occasions. I remember one very distinctly. Somebody said, "I'd like to be baptized. When can we schedule that?" And the answer was no. The moment we got to that point, you don't understand something. You're missing something. So what about somebody who's 6 years old? I was trying to think the youngest person that I could think of that has asked me to be baptized. And that's the youngest I could think of, a six-year-old. And by the way, that one was challenging. This was not your average six-year-old. Continues to not be your average six-year-old. But we get to this question of how young is too young? And so I want to talk about that a little bit because there are seven things that I'm looking for. And they kind of they cross over a little bit. And this isn't my test. We're going to look at what God's Word says. This is what you need in order to be baptized. But let's start off with what's the right age. So I want you to go ahead and turn in your scriptures. We've heard it so many times, of course, the age of accountability. So let's turn to that passage that tells us that the Jews did not consider a child to be accountable until the age of 12. So we'll go ahead and turn back there. Where are you turning? I was told all my life that was the case. I accepted it. I have told others it. You know what? I looked and it's not there. I can't find it. Maybe you found it. If you have, I didn't hear your pages turning. You can tell me where it's at later on. I don't know where it's at. The Bible does not say this is the age, and I'm thankful for that. Because there's not... ages change from society and from time. We are in an age in which, in this particular country, our kids stay kids for a pretty long time. In some places, kids are forced to grow up at a very rapid pace. When we were still considering kids to be very much kids, others are already expected to be parents. Things have changed, and they change over time. And then you have, not just on a society basis, but on a child-to-child basis, children grow up at different rates. Some children get mature very quickly, and some children, boy, you talk about they're in their 20s, and we're still waiting for them to mature at some point. But you mature at a different rate. It's not about an age. Now, my parents gave me an age. They told me I couldn't be baptized till I was 12. I asked beforehand, and I wasn't ready. They were right. But it wasn't when I turned 12 at that moment, at the strike of 7 o'clock in the morning, because I was born at 7 in the morning, right then, boom, now I'm ready. It wasn't like that. When are we ready? So I don't ask a kid his age. That's not the question. What I'm looking for is something else. When are they ready? And this is true whether they are young or old. This is what the Bible looks for. And this is what I look for. And this is what I suggest parents be looking for and preparing your children for. The first one is faith. That's the answer to the question that we get in Acts chapter 8. The Ethiopian eunuch says, "What prevents me from being baptized?" Most of you have this verse 38. Most of you have verse 37 in your Bibles. Some of you just have to look a little bit harder. For example, this morning when it was read, it wasn't there. But mark it's there. You just have to look at the footnote and say, "Oh, here it is. It's right here." Some of the translations have slid this over to the side. But Philip answers this question. They said, "What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's not shocking. Hebrews 11, verse 6. We've already been talking about this all year long. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You have to have faith. You're not ready to be baptized into Christ if you don't believe in Christ, which leads to the question, what is it we have to have faith in? Well, right here, what it says is, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," about who Jesus is. We'll add Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and it says, "Do you not know that all of you who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into His death?" There's a part of it in which we must understand that Jesus died and was resurrected. That's why that one person wasn't ready. She wasn't ready because baptism is into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If you don't believe in the death, burial, or resurrection of Jesus, how can you be baptized into it? Your faith isn't in the right place. So the first thing is, do you believe? I want to stop here because that one's the easy one. I think that most everybody can recognize that one. We usually even have that confession before we have somebody baptized. We say, "Do you believe?" And they say they do, and then we have them baptized into Christ. I want to stop and tell you I'm hesitant to give you the next six. And the reason why is we have a lot of young people, and I've become convinced they listen. And I do not want to give you the answers. Because it would be all too easy to fool me. It would be all too easy to just know all I have to do is say this particular thing to this particular question, and I'll get baptized. And that may be the case, but it doesn't mean you're ready. So it's not about children knowing the trick answers to the questions. It's about really getting to the core of who they are and whether they're really ready. So I'm hesitant. I'm hesitant to do this because I'm giving them the answers to the questions I'm looking for. But the next thing, number two, what I'm looking for is discipleship. And that is crucial. I fear that we have done a great disservice to many generations of young people in emphasizing baptism over discipleship. Children know I need to be baptized to be saved, but they don't know that salvation is all about Jesus, not water. And so they think there's some special thing about getting in the water rather than the special thing being about being placed into Jesus. Baptism is all about Jesus. So in Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth," He then gives the Great Commission, right? And notice the order of events. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." The baptism comes after you've made them a disciple, a follower of Jesus. When children think it's all about water instead of about Jesus, they don't understand what it's all about. In fact, I don't even talk about baptism that much when I'm dealing with somebody who's not believing they're a Christian. In other words, if I'm talking to a Baptist, a Methodist, a Catholic, we're going to talk a lot about baptism because they're going to deny its necessity. But if we're talking about somebody who doesn't even believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that's what I'm going to talk about. Jesus. And then when the question comes, well, what do I need to do to follow Jesus? That's when you talk about baptism, and it's not a long discourse. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, the people become convinced Jesus is the Christ. What must we do? Peter doesn't go into this long discourse of saying, okay, you need to be baptized. It's necessary for salvation, and there are going to be people who are going to come later on, and they're going to... He doesn't go into it. He just says, let each one of you be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If they haven't heard the other side, if they haven't heard the argument saying you don't need to, you don't have to go into it long. You just say, be baptized, and they'll do it. With our young people, they just need to become convinced about who Jesus is more than time needs to be spent on the necessity of baptism. However, I will counter that and say, because we live in a world that is so convinced baptism isn't necessary, some time does need to be spent on it. We do need to counter that false doctrine for them. But I want you to notice something else. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. So it said that we make disciples of all the nations. Then we're baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Then teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. I'm not going to put on this list that what I'm looking for is obedience. In other words, I'm looking for, are they righteous enough to be baptized? That comes next. First is a conviction to follow Jesus wherever, then you are baptized, and then you find out wherever that is, whatever it is you must do. Then we're told you must observe all that I've commanded. You don't have to know everything God has asked you to do to be baptized. You don't have to know what everything is. You don't have to have all the righteousness down. What you have to have is a conviction that says, I'll do whatever He asks me to do, however difficult it might be to do. So what am I looking for when I talk about discipleship? I am looking for personal conviction rather than convenience. I've had people say that they weren't ready to be, that they wanted to be baptized, but they wanted to wait because the water was cold. That told me something. That told me that they weren't convicted to following Jesus, or they didn't understand baptism, one or the other. But they were following what was convenient. Somebody else I know said, I wasn't ready to be baptized quite yet because that water was muddy. That told me something. Not yet ready. Something else needs to be put in place. We need to be willing to follow Jesus whatever we're asked to do. I was thinking about that a little bit this morning. When we partook of the Lord's Supper, we talk about the Lord, the fruit of the vine representing the blood of Jesus. What if we were actually asked to drink blood? Gross. That's right, Nancy. It's gross. Would you do it for the sake of Jesus? See, that's what we're talking about, discipleship, a conviction that says, whatever he asks, I'll do. Even if it's difficult, even if it's challenging. With young people, the question is this: what if I say no? You ask to be baptized, what if I say no? I'm an authoritative figure. What if the parents say no? They're an authoritative figure. Do they follow the authoritative figure or do they follow Jesus? That's the question. I remember right here, some time ago, young Kaylee had asked to be baptized. And that was a difficult circumstance because you got to get this one right. Because at that time, you know, she has very serious cancer. We're very concerned about how long she's going to live. God has blessed her with life, and we're so thankful for that. But she says, I want to be baptized. So I sit here at the edge of this of the stage, and I asked her, I said, what if I say no? And she looked at me and said, well, then I wouldn't. And then you can see the light click, and she said, wait, would I? And she made this change in her mind that says, no, I'm going to do what Jesus wants me to do, not what you tell me to do. That's what I'm looking for, is that conviction that says, I'll follow Jesus anywhere, wherever he says to go. And when you have that, now we're ready to talk about baptism. If you don't have that, what is the point of baptism? If we're not ready to follow Jesus, we're not ready to get in the water. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 17, he's talking about what I'm talking about right here. Jesus did not send him to baptize people. He says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. Same thing with John the Baptist. He wasn't sent to baptize, though he went baptizing people. The goal wasn't, I'm going to get as many people wet as possible, and as prominent people as wet as possible. And so here come some Pharisees and Sadducees, spiritual leaders of the people. Who cares why they're here? Let's get them in the water. They asked for it. That's not what John the Baptist did. That's not what Paul's doing. Paul's not there. At any cost, I'll get people in the water. I'll tell you something. When it comes to kids, I can get them in the water if you want me to. Especially when they're young and they don't have that will of their own. They don't have that point. That's the real challenge. That's the scary thing with kids, is it's easy to get them in the water. It's a little harder to get them to become Christians. And Paul was sent not to get people in the water, but to get people to follow Jesus, which then would include baptism. So, first two things. Do they believe? And are they convicted? Will they follow Jesus no matter what? Third, fourth, and fifth. They're kind of closely connected. What I'm looking for is sin, being lost, and knowing it. So, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when they say, what must we do? Peter's response is, repent, let each one of you be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. What's there? There's no way around this. Baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. If there's no sin, what's the point of baptism? Acts 22 and verse 16, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. What's the assumption? There are sins. So if I look at a young person and they don't have any sin in their life, they can't look at what they've done that is wrong in the eyes of God, they're not really ready to be baptized. And what that really means is, what I'm looking at is, are they lost? 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 says, corresponding to this, baptism now saves you. There's an implication there. There's an implication that you were lost. This is a hard one for parents, really hard to get to that transition point, because we must first ask if young people are lost to begin with. And there are many people who say young people are born lost. I don't find that within scriptures. I find hyperbole where David talks about how he's been sinful his whole life, even before he was born, but that's hyperbole in the book of Psalms. What I find is Jesus showing us a different attitude towards children. In Matthew chapter 18, in verse 1, it says, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven.'" Children are our goal. They're not the problem. Children are our goal. And then in Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 14, "Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, 'Let the children alone and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.'" Children are not illustrations of being completely lost and depraved and hopeless. Children are pure and innocent and wonderful, and they are an example of what we're supposed to accomplish. And so we look at a child who says, "I want to be baptized," and yet they are pure and innocent. They don't need to be baptized. They don't need to be saved because they're not lost. But one day at some point that changes. And I hate to say it, I hate to think it, but even all the young children that we have, at some point, given enough time, they will go from being right with God to being wrong with God and now needing desperately the grace of God. And so I'm looking for, is that transition occurred? And that's a tough question, because what I'm asking is, it right now, this child in front of me, this young person, if they died, would they be lost? It's a tough question. And one of the things that helps me understand is whether they have a wounded conscience. I'm looking for pain. So 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the first part of the passage talks about how baptism saves us. But that, of course, is not the entirety of that verse. He says, "Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." The people on the day of Pentecost, their heart was pierced. They were in pain at what they had done and said, "What must we do?" And I'm looking for that. I'm looking for that pain, that consciousness of sin. I've done something wrong. I'm looking for guilt. And when you don't have that, you don't really have that need for baptism yet. Perhaps they should be at a point where they should have guilt, in which case we need to study God's Word a little bit more and realize we have sinned. But I am looking for that guilt. You know what else I'm looking for in this one? Fear and urgency. If you believe you are lost, how long do you wait to do what's right? How long do you wait to have your sins forgiven? So when somebody comes to me and they say, "I want to be baptized and I will schedule it for later," that tells me right then they don't have that urgency. They don't understand something. Something's not connecting. They don't realize that right now, that moment, they're lost. Now that's happened to me with young people and that's happened with adults. I've had people that are adults that want to be baptized, but they do it because of what the denominational world has taught them, that it's something you do later on once you're already saved. That's not what we see within scriptures. So I'm looking for that urgency that says, we need to do it now. Now. It's not wait. The sixth and seventh points are also fairly similar, and what I'm looking for then is repentance and a willingness to die. That is a desire to change. A willingness to change at any cost. So in Acts 2 and verse 38, again, first thing, they say, what must we do? Before he tells them to be baptized, he tells them, you need to repent. You've done something wrong. You need to show sorrow for it. In Luke chapter 3, we had John the Baptist, and he says no to these Pharisees and Sadducees that have come to be baptized. He says no to them because he says you need to bear fruit of repentance first. You need to show that you're really sorry, that you're not just doing it because everybody's doing it. You're not doing it because it's cool. You're not doing it so that people will think more of you. You're doing it because you realize you're wrong and you're going to change your life. And so I am looking for somebody who is willing to change who they are, who recognizes there's something wrong with them. So when I was very young, I asked to be baptized, and my parents said no, rightfully so. And then the age of 12 came, and then the age of 13, and the age of 14, and I knew I needed to be baptized, and I had the fear. And I've oftentimes looked back and said, why wasn't I baptized? I hated sermons like this one. I hated any time that got to the point of baptism because it was calling me to action. And I think that was really what it came down to. I didn't want things to change. I wasn't ready to make a commitment that meant I had to stand up in public. Fear of people looking at me as I was baptized. And you know what that meant? Even though I needed to be baptized, I wasn't personally ready to be baptized because I hadn't yet made the right priorities. Jesus first, Jesus above all. And once I changed that, it didn't matter what time of day it was time to be baptized. And so in the middle of the night, I was baptized into Christ. But if you have met those seven things, if you believe and if you're convicted, I'm going to follow Jesus. And if you recognize that you are lost and that you have sin, and if you're willing to repent, well then, the time for baptism is always right now. Whether it's Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon or Sunday in the middle of the night or Monday or Tuesday, it's not wait for an invitation, it's right then. That's the scriptural example. Once you realize you are lost and salvation is within your grasp, you do not wait to grasp it, you grasp it immediately. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the people had just come to realize they had killed the Messiah. It says, so then those who had received the word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. There's not something saying, wow, there are 2,000 people in front of me for this line for water. I think I'll come back when it's a little bit less busy. Have you ever had that kind of thought process at lines of stores? Yeah, we do that sort of thing, but not for this. Not for this. This, we say, as quickly as I can, I will be baptized. That day, they were all baptized. Acts chapter 8, verse 36 through 38, we have the Ethiopian eunuch. They're in the middle of the desert. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized them. There's no waiting, there's no ceremony, there's nothing to it. It's just now's the time, do it now. In Acts chapter 16, in verse 33, Paul has been beaten, he's been thrown in prison. It's the middle of the night, God has released him from prison. The prison guard comes running up saying, what do I need to do to be saved? The first answer was not be baptized. The first answer was believe. And so then they go to the house and he tells them about Jesus. So in verse 31, they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and they washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his households. When the time comes, the time is right then. And then finally, Acts 22 and verse 16. This great message that calls to all time, not just to Paul, but to all people who have yet to be baptized, but have come to realize they should be. It was a message that was spoken to me multiple times, pierced my heart multiple times, and I did not answer it. And perhaps it pierces your heart right now, and I beg you, do answer it. Wait no longer. Why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name. If you believe and if you're convicted, willing to follow Jesus, if you realize your sins, you realize you're lost, and you're ready and willing to repent, then do not delay any longer. We encourage you, we beg you to be baptized into Christ right now. The front row is available. Come take it. We will hear your confession and you can be baptized into Christ this morning. If you're a Christian and you have fallen away, the urgency remains true with you. Do not hold on to sin. Do not hold on to condemnation. Change. Confess your sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Why don't you come as we stand and as we sing?